February of this year, I saw a story on our local Fox 2 news network, and it was a Gallup well-being index poll that said this: Missouri is ranked number 8, the 8th most miserable state in the United States. Now, to be the 8th most miserable state in the United States, what does that mean? You can see on the big screen here, miserable means to be wretchedly unhappy. So again, we are voted the 8th most miserably, wretchedly unhappy state in the nation. Now, I've got some good news for you. There are 7 states more miserable than us. Praise God. I don't know how much I believe in all that. But anyway, the number one most miserable state for 5 years in a row is West Virginia. And guess what was the number one, according to the Gallup Well-Being Index poll, the number one happiest state in the United States? What would you guess? Not North Dakota. That's because there's no one there to ask, I guess. I don't know. Rent the U-Haul now, huh? So we have went from Missouri, the show me state, to misery, the woe is me state, I guess. No one is standing in line to be wretchedly unhappy. Okay? No one says, I hope my marriage, I hope my family, I hope tomorrow at work I'm miserable. No one wants that. No one wants to live in a state of misery. On a scale of 1 to 10, now come on a scale of 1 to 10, how joyful are you? Would your wife agree with that number? Your friend, your spouse, your kids? How joyful are you? How joyful am I? What do you think it takes in this absolutely crazy, chaotic world to find joy? If you are a Christian, you say, yes, I follow Christ. Well, let me ask you, are you critical? Are you negative and gripe and complain a lot? Are you going to heaven and you want other people to go to heaven, but are you fun to hang out with here on planet Earth? It's okay if we live in the state of Missouri, but it is not God's plan for anyone to live in a state of misery. God has a very specific plan for you and for me. He wants us to experience and express real deep joy. We need to understand what joy is, and we need to understand what joy is not. We need to know, how do you get joy and how do you keep joy in your life? How does that happen? Because joy is one of the flavors of the fruit of the Spirit. And this summer sermon series is called Fruit Gushers. We're doing an in-depth study of the fruit of the Spirit. You might remember the candy, been around for 25 years, called Fruit Gushers. That's our theme here. It is a chewy, fruity piece of candy that once you bite into it, it gushes out fruit juice into your mouth. And this is what it means to be a fruit of the Spirit filled Christian. It means that when we interact with the world, fruit, or the life of Jesus that's in us, gushes out of us to advance the gospel for His glory. We are a bunch of joyful fruit gushers. Now remember, the theme of this summer series, 10 total messages, is about the authentic Christian life, because Galatians 5, where we find the fruit of the Spirit, that chapter is about living a real Christian life in the real world. An authentic Christian life is a fruit of the Spirit filled life. Again, this is a life God wants us to experience on the inside, and this is a life God wants us to express on the outside. This is a life well lived. This is the life that God wants for you and wants for me. If God didn't mean it, He wouldn't say it. He wants you and I daily to experience joy and to express joy regardless of what's going on in our lives and the world around us. And again, we need to understand what that means. So Galatians 5, 22 and 23 is our passage of Scripture we're studying in depth this summer. It says the fruit of the Spirit is, and remember, this was our very first message, which we laid the groundwork, the introduction to all that's involved in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is, then here are the 9 flavors of the fruit of the Spirit. Love is what we talked about last week, that the most important thing in the world is to know God's love through Jesus Christ. And then life really is this: love God, love people. Anything you or I do, if we're not loving God and loving people, it really doesn't matter. Love, joy, what we will study today. peace next week, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. We're talking about joy today. Remember, fruit is the life of Jesus in us that is showing out of us. When everyone who comes to Jesus in salvation is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And only through the Holy Spirit. Fruit is only produced by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. You see, fruit is supernatural. This list here of fruit is not something that you and I can bring about by hard work. It does not happen by self-effort. It only happens by salvation in Christ and then surrender to the Holy Spirit that is inside of us. Remember, it's fruit, not fruits. It's not nine different fruits listed here. It's one fruit in nine different flavors. And even though we're looking at each one of these separately, it's still just one fruit. And we know that none of us are perfect. But as we are ever growing in our relationship with the Holy Spirit, we can be ever growing in the fruit of the Spirit. You and I might excel in some of these nine more than others, but it's a package deal. All of these nine flavors of the fruit of the Spirit are to be present in every Christian, in every church, all at once. And the fruit of the Spirit, when you and I go to work, when you and I go through life, when we face struggles and trials in our lives, but the life of Jesus in us is showing out of us. When the world sees love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and all this flowing out of us, the life of Jesus coming out of us, it's our witness to the world. This world is starving for love. This world is starving for joy. This world is starving for peace. And when you and I cooperate and surrender as followers of Christ to the Holy Spirit that is in us, we feed the world. When they see and experience Jesus in us and through us, it advances the gospel and it brings glory to God. Now today, we're just focusing on this one word, joy, to understand what it is not, how do we get it, and how do we keep it. On a scale of 1 to 10, how joyful are you? Let's understand what that means. I've got for you four quick lessons for living about joy. Number one is this. No one is happy all the time, but you can be joyful all the time. No one is happy all the time, but you can be joyful all the time. The word joy that you see here in Galatians 5 verse 22 means this. It's a deep, internal, intense gladness. It's a settled peace in your soul as you face the pressures of life. It means, in some languages, to dance in your heart. To dance in your heart. You see, the Bible is very clear that you find the word joy or rejoice. You know what rejoice? Rejoice just means to joy over and over and over. You find joy or rejoice 330 times in the Bible because the Christian faith is a faith of joy. Let me just hit some real fast some Bible verses that teach us this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Serve the Lord with gladness. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The Lord will rejoice in doing you good. Rejoice, for your names are written in heaven. These things I speak, that your joy may be full. The disciples were filled with joy and the Spirit. Rejoice in hope. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. We rejoice in our sufferings. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Remember, this joy and rejoicing, which is joy over and over, is not just for a select few. This is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what every single believer in every single church can experience and express. That great, great pastor, Adrian Rogers, said this, joy is God's will. If you do not live a life of joy, you are living below your privilege as a child of God. That's His plan for you, and His plan for me is His joy in our lives. Rejoicing always, being continually joyful, dancing in our hearts. That's amazing and astounding. And to be honest with you, it sounds impractical, illogical, if not impossible. But God says what He means. We must understand what joy is and what joy is not. We must understand, this is important, If you can walk out today with one thing as a believer, I pray you and I will walk out of this building understanding the difference between happiness and joy. Two totally different things. The fruit of the Spirit does not say the fruit of the Spirit is happiness. It says the fruit of the Spirit is joy. There is a huge difference. Let's talk first of all about what happiness is. I love Vance Havner said this: the world's happiness should be spelled happiness. Happiness is based on what happens to you. If your hap is good, you're happy. If your hap is bad, you're unhappy. And when we live our lives by happiness, we become victims of circumstances because our happenings, our circumstances always change. They may be good, they may be bad. You see, happiness is an outward emotion that's based upon what's going on around us. And happiness is an outward emotion that can leave us and abandon us. Joy is not happiness. Joy is from Jesus. Joy is internal and spiritual. It's not an outward emotion, it's internal. Joy is not based on good or bad circumstances outside of me, but the fact that Jesus is inside of me. That's the difference. Happiness is based on what goes on around me. Joy is based on who lives in me. And that cannot change. Joy is not, I feel good all the time. Joy is not, life is good all the time. Joy is not, your heart can never hurt. You can never, you're free of sorrow and you never cry. That's not what joy is. Joy does not mean you and I live in some fantasy world where we try to escape the reality of pain and problems. That's not what it is. Joy does not mean that you're naturally a peppy person. Joy does not mean that you wear a fake smile and just make the best of a bad situation. Joy does not mean grin and bear it because there's nothing you can do about it anyway. Joy is not based on, we don't rejoice in our circumstances. Our circumstances can break our hearts. We rejoice in Christ who lives in us. Life changes. Circumstances change. Sometimes we're happy. Sometimes we're sad. Sometimes we hurt in our outward emotions. But Jesus never changes and I belong to Him. And that's what gives me joy. So in the midst of tears, I can still have joy in my heart. In the midst of confusion and not knowing what's next and even being attacked by fear, it's real emotion. I can still have joy in my heart. Oceanographers tell us that on the ocean, there are two major currents. There's one current on the surface of the ocean, strong current, that goes one direction. It's driven by the wind, by gravity, those sort of things. But oceanographers also tell us that deep in the depths of the ocean, there is another current that flows the exact opposite direction. It's pretty crazy that the surface current and the deep current of the ocean flow in different directions. They never interfere with one another. They don't impact the other one. Spurgeon said that's the Christian life. See, you and I, yes, we are in this world. This is not saying be joyful. It's not an escape from reality. It does not mean we feel good all the time. It does not mean life is good all the time. It does not mean we don't cry. It does not mean we just kind of, pull ourselves up and make the best of it. It does not mean that. It means that there is a real strong current on the surface of our lives in life circumstances. And it may be a calm, easy sea where life is hunky-dory and great. Or it may be dark, raging, rough storm like we've never faced before. And this surface current, living life in this fallen world, it is strong. And that current goes this way and the winds of life blow us. And one day we're happy and another day we're sad and another day we hurt. But what being a follower of Jesus means, while this current is flowing this way, in the depths of our soul, deep down in our hearts, our eternal life, that no trouble, no trial can ever touch, our salvation in Jesus. There is another deep undercurrent, this massive flow that is in Christ Himself, and it's joy that comes from Him. And the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us, when we surrender to Him, produces deep inside of us a joy. I've been there with you. I've been afraid. I've been concerned. I've been in a funeral home for a loved one. I wasn't happy. But I knew my loved one knew Jesus and they were in heaven. I had joy. We're not happy all the time, but we can be joyful all the time. Number two, joy only comes from Jesus. Joy only comes from Jesus Christ. Job 20 verse 5 says this, "The joy of the godless," or those who are without God, "is but for a moment." In other words, the Bible teaches the joy of the godless is but for a moment. If you don't have God, you're never going to have joy. But it says in Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord," not in circumstances. We don't rejoice in what happens to us. We rejoice in Him. "Rejoice in the Lord always," not circumstances. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Have His joy over and over and over inside of you, based on Him, not outside. Jesus said this, "These things I have spoken to you that my joy," not our joy we work up, not because we shut our eyes and hum and listen to some DVD of ocean waves, "my joy may remain in you," not our joy, "my joy may remain in you that your joy may be full." When we open our hearts to the salvation of Jesus, God opens the gates of eternal life and internal joy, because He gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit, and He gives us the gift of joy. And it only is from Jesus Christ. Here's the difficulty. This culture we live in, the media, advertisers, every commercial, every advertisement, day in, day out, all day long, they're telling you and I this. The world teaches us joy is found in the situation you're in or the stuff you own. Advertisers are telling you if you own this, you're going to have joy. Media tells you, the culture tells us, if you're in this situation, you're going to be joyful. If this is the situation in your family, if you have this type of house, if you drive this type of car, if you have this kind of success, if you lose this amount of weight, if you do, the situation you're in or the stuff you own is what determines being joyful. Well, here's the problem with that. If our joy is wrapped up in something we can lose, something that can leave, or something the world can touch, it will never be consistent. To give you an example, this is current, in our world this week. I did not realize how the nation of Brazil loves soccer. Man, they are, soccer brings them joy. And, of course, yesterday they got beat in the third place game and got fourth. But earlier this week, they were in the semifinals, and it's being played in Brazil. It's the most watched event. I read one thing that half of the world will watch at least one part of the World Cup. They're in the semifinals against Germany, and I have never seen anything like it. The streets were empty. The stadium, the people, everyone's painted and wearing yellow and green. Forget the Super Bowl and the World Series and the Final Four and the Ryder Cup. I have never seen that much cheering and joy and happiness and craziness in a sporting event in my life than Brazil going into the semifinals trying to win the World Championship and the World Cup. And then their opponent, Germany, crushed them with 7 goals. And the camera was going around the stadium. And those people who 10 minutes earlier were going, yeah! And they had green paint running down their faces. They went from happiness to heartbreak because a stupid ball filled with air went into a net. Because the situation you were in. I was bumming about the Cardinals earlier this year. Now they're 1 game away from having the best record in the National League. I'm down. I'm happy. Fire Matheny. He's the best. Let me give you another example. The world, we got to get this. The world says the situation you're in and the stuff you own is what will bring you joy. This is an old newspaper article that I've had for a long time. It was from the Los Angeles Times. I'm just going to read the newspaper article to you. It was out of Boston. 37-year-old cafeteria cook who won the $3.6 million lottery this month died of a heart attack on Monday. His sister-in-law blamed the stress of being an instant millionaire for his death. William Curry of South Boston won the September 8th Megabucks drawing and took a couple weeks off. She said, quote, "He never got to enjoy it," Shirley Burdon said of her brother-in-law's new wealth. "All he really bought with the money was a Dalmatian puppy for his kids." Curry returned to his job of 20 years as a cook at the Merit Food Company on Monday, the first time back to work since he won, and there at work he suffered a fatal heart attack, the Boston Herald reported. Burdon, his sister-in-law, said Curry had been besieged by accountants and financial advisors and other people wanting money from him. She says, quote, "It was the stress of it that killed him. We've had no peace since winning it." Soccer, an instant millionaire. The situation you're in and the stuff you own will make you joyful. Do we honestly think that the godless, worthless junk on this spinning piece of dirt will make us joyful? I love you, but some of you have bought into that. I know because I have in my life before too. There's only one deep, lasting path to real joy, and His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one thing you can never lose. Jesus is the one thing that will never leave you. And Jesus is the one thing that death, disease, destruction, none of those things can ever touch in our lives. Jesus is that one. Believers, if you're going to try to have joy in this world and in this life, I love you as your pastor, it will not work. If you're going to try to find joy in Jesus plus this world and this life, it will not work. But if you find your joy in Jesus Christ alone, that is the only thing that will work. It's the difference between a bubble and a baseball. Trying to find joy in this world and this life is like a bubble. It is hollow, it is fragile, it will soon burst. But finding joy in Jesus is like a baseball. It is hard, it is solid, and thank the Lord the Cardinals are doing a better job of hitting it here recently. Okay? It's only in Jesus. Joy does not mean we don't cry. It does not mean we feel good. It does not mean life is good. It does not mean we grin and bear it. It means deep in our hearts and deep in our souls because of Jesus inside of us. Whatever happens in life that's real and hurtful, there is a deep, settled peace. I belong to Him. Number three, we must make the rejoice choice. We must make the rejoice choice. The difficult circumstances and challenges of life demand all of us to come to a conclusion. Let me say this again. All right, this is the nitty-gritty. This is real world. This is not come into a building, talk about God, and it's all this fake, fluffy, spiritual thing like there's nothing bad in the world. The challenges and circumstances of life demand that you and I come to a conclusion about life. We do not deny the difficulties of pain and problems in this world. But in the midst of pain and problems, we make a choice to surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit and to trust and obey our God. And when we make that choice in the midst of our problems, that's the rejoice choice. And all of us are faced with it. We just don't instantly become joyful. It's a rejoice choice of saying, this is the real pain, this is the real problems, I'm not escaping that, but in the midst of it, I'm making a choice to yield my life to the Holy Spirit of God that lives in me and to surrender and trust my God. Because in the rejoice choice, this is what I know. I don't know a lot of things. There's a lot of things I don't have answers to, timing, reasons, reasons why, I don't know that. God sees eternity, I do not. But this is what I do know. Because of this book and my relationship with Jesus, I know who God is, and I know that God loves me. I know that I belong to Jesus, and I know that I am saved. I know that Jesus is in control, and He is at work in all the details of my life, and I can trust Him no matter what. And I know if I yield my life to God the way a telescope magnifies the stars, God will take the fruit of my life to magnify Himself for His glory. Therefore, I am not going to let sin in my life steal my joy. I am not going to let this world rob me of my joy. Happiness is not enough. I am going to make the rejoice choice. I am going to choose to surrender to the Holy Spirit that's in me, and I'm going to trust and obey my God, and He will produce a joy in my heart for me to experience and a joy coming out of me for other people to experience and express to them. You see, the reason why that isn't so important, we make the rejoice choice. The joy from the fruit of the Spirit is our best advertisement of Jesus. We cannot separate missions, and we cannot separate our witness to other people from joy. Be the grouchiest, most critical, negative person at your work, and then go up and smile and say, "Want to go to church with me?" No way. German researchers did an intense study of churches of all sizes, all kinds of churches, all sizes of churches all over the planet, and they came up with, according to the Bible, churches that they considered to be healthy and churches that they considered to be effective in missions and ministry. And one of the things they found in common with all sizes of churches from all over the world, these German researchers said, every one of those healthy, effective churches had a joy in the Lord, and they had a joy with each other. They were joyful. It's our witness to the world. And I'll tell you, perhaps the greatest witness to the world. Here it is. When this lost world sees you suffering with their suffering, and it's real, but yet in you, they see the joy of Christ. That is perhaps our greatest witness to this lost world. We share in the fellowship of Christ, but we share in the sufferings of Christ. And Jesus suffered on the cross, and we as His servants should not expect to be treated better than our Master. But when the lost world says, wow, that person is going through exactly what I'm going through, and they cry and they don't have all the answers, but there's something inside of them that I don't have. It's this settled peace. It's this sense of joy deep in their heart. There is perhaps no greater witness on this planet to the difference Jesus can make in someone's life. We've got to make the rejoice choice. We have to make it on a daily basis. Number two, or finally, number four, the joy of our home in heaven brings us joy in our hearts today. The joy of our home in heaven brings us joy in our hearts today. For those who know and love Jesus, we have a joy. Think of the joy that's ahead of us in heaven. Some scripture. Jesus said in John 16:32, therefore, now you have sorrow. He's getting ready to die on the cross. And in this world, we certainly have sorrow. But I will see you again. He's talking about, you're going to have sorrow because you're going to watch me die on the cross, but I will see you again in John 16:22, because He's going to come out of the grave alive. And your heart will rejoice. And I love the end of verse 22. This is God's word. And your joy no one will take from you. No one can take the joy of Jesus. I mean, death and disease and illness and all those things can ravage our physical bodies, but nothing can touch our eternal life. Nothing can touch our salvation in Christ. Nothing can touch our home in heaven. It says in Revelation 21:4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be the joy of heaven. No more death, sorrow, or crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. 1 Peter 1:6-9. Listen to this, church family. The joy of heaven gives us joy in our hearts today. It says in this, 1 Peter 1:6-9, in this you greatly rejoice. It literally means jump up and down. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you are grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ when He comes back. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This great passage of Scripture is teaching us the temporary trials of life is filled with pain and problems. And when we trust and obey God and when we surrender all that to God, He will use the difficulties of this world for our good and His glory. But He says, bottom line, remember the end of the story. Jesus is coming back and heaven is coming so we can rejoice. I don't rejoice in everything that's going on in my life today, but I can certainly rejoice in my eternal life that I'm going to experience tomorrow in heaven. And I love that phrase we saw in verse 18. You rejoice in a joy inexpressible and full of glory. We sang that this morning. You know what this phrase means? A deep inner satisfaction that defies all human explanation and all experience. No human can explain, no human can experience the fruit of the Spirit, supernatural joy, not happiness, joy that God produces in us and that comes out of us. Two things. First of all, Christians, you know, the easiest thing to lose is not your keys or your glasses. The easiest thing to lose is your joy. Have you lost your joy? Scale of 1 to 10. We lose our joy sometimes, our fault, because it's sin in our lives. We lose our joy sometimes because in our frailty we go through difficult times and we lose our focus and begin to focus on outward emotional happiness versus internal spiritual joy. Many times we lose our joy because we come lukewarm. You know, there's something worse than being lukewarm. It's being lukewarm, knowing it, and not willing to do a thing about it. I'm inviting you and myself to stop everything this morning. Your work, your family, all that stuff, stop. Put it all behind you. There is one burning issue in your life right now. If you have lost your joy in Jesus, you need to absolutely cry out to God and confess that and say, oh God, would you build the fire of Jesus back in my heart and back in my life? The Bible says if we are lukewarm, He will spew us out of His mouth. To say, oh God, there's so much going on, but I push all that back. God, there is nothing more important in my life right now than, oh God, put that fire of Christ back in my heart and my bones and my life. I've lost my joy. Second of all, do you know Jesus and do you know His joy? Do you know that joy is the very core of the gospel? Remember in Luke chapter 2 verse 10 when the angels announced the birth of Jesus our Savior, they says it is good news of great, what? Great joy. In Luke 15:10 it says there's joy in heaven when one sinner repents. In Luke 10:20 it says rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Joy is the core of the gospel. For God's joy, when we come to Him, when we recognize the fact that He loves us, but our sins separate us from Him. And no amount of religion, no amount of trying to do good or be good or believe that God's real, no amount of that can bridge the gap that my sins have made between a holy, perfect God. But Jesus on His cross is the only bridge. And the Bible says, for the joy that was set before Him, Jesus endured the cross. He went to the cross for you and for me. He died. He arose. He's alive today. That He can give us His joy, and His joy can be full in you and full in me. Have you come to Christ? You'll never know joy. You'll have some happy times, and you'll have some sad times, but you'll never know joy in this life. You'll never know the joy of heaven until you first come to Christ. Come to Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, turning from sins, trusting in Him. This one final thought about the joy of heaven. My mom and dad's former pastor, name was Tom Reef at Lakeland Baptist Church in Omaha, Arkansas. And Pastor Tom Reef, he did my grandmother's funeral. Man, how that guy, he's absolutely, if you look at his past, he was a director of working with children in the state of Arkansas for a number of years, just a lot of different ministries, and he was mom and dad's pastor in his later years. I don't know if I've ever met a person who, I've met some who are equal, but I don't know if I've ever met a believer whose life you just saw the fruit of the Spirit of joy. Tom just had a joy in him and a joy coming out of him. It was like a magnet. You just, again, it's one thing to know you're going to heaven, but it's nothing to be no fun to hang out with on earth. And he was a great guy to be around because Christ was just all over him and flowing from him. As Tom got older, man, I never watched him lose his joy, but I sure watched him get sick. His body became so painful. He became so frail. He was so sick. But yet, there would still be a smile because of Christ and a joy in his heart and a joy in his life. November of last year, Mom and Dad's former pastor, Dad was telling me this. The family knew this was it. He had been so sick for so long. He actually became unconscious. They thought, there's no doubt he's dying. They rushed him to a hospital in Branson, Missouri, and just waited. The doctors were like, you know. Then all of a sudden he woke up. He woke up in the hospital. He looked all around him. Now you think joyful Tom would be happy to say, thank you God, I'm still alive. When he woke up, he was mad. I mean mad. The first words he said was, I thought I was dying and going to see Jesus. Instead, I wake up in this hospital. And I'm still here. Don't get me wrong, he loves his wife. Faithful pastor's wife. He loves his family. But he knows that Jesus and heaven and the joy of heaven is so much greater. I'm not saying if God spares your life, you should be ticked off. Life is a precious gift. But I am saying this. Man, there should be something deep inside of us that knows joy is going to be totally fulfilled. I have heaven in my heart in this life, but heaven's coming. And I'm going to know the joy of Jesus in that day. If you try to find joy in this world, in this life, even if you try to add Jesus and church to it, it will never work. It's Jesus alone. Abbey Daniel Burlball said this, and when my days run out and I will have lived just a blink of time, the rest will be eternal joy. And all God's people said, there are no list of the most miserable in heaven. Isn't that good? Let's pray. God, we love you and we're so grateful that you love us, and we are so thankful that we can study your word and understand there is a difference between happiness based on outward circumstances and joy based on, Lord Jesus, your presence and power in our lives. God, thank you that you're not calling us to be fake, spiritual, superficial people. God, again, thank you for reminding us that joy does not mean we feel good all the time, does not mean life is good all the time, does not mean we just grin and bear it, there's nothing we can do about it, does not mean we cry, we're confused, or we're afraid. God, we know there is a current in this fallen world that is vicious. But thank you, there is a deep undercurrent flowing the exact opposite direction that surface current cannot ever touch. Lord, thank you that when we open our hearts to you, you open the gate of eternal life and internal joy. Lord, help us even now to make the rejoice choice. Help us, Lord, to know who you are, who we are in you, that you're in total control. We can trust you no matter what. And Lord, to make the choice in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of pain, to make the choice to say, God, I trust you. I obey you. Fill me with your power. I surrender to you, Holy Spirit. And oh God, thank you. Heaven is our home in the future. And because of you, Jesus, we have heaven in our hearts today. And there is truly coming, as Pastor Tom experienced, joy unspeakable and full of glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name.